All right, 5 o'clock hour, Football Friday. The question is simple. What are we going to learn about the three teams, the Lions, Michigan, Michigan State, after this weekend? Who needs these games the most? 248-539-9797. We got open lines for the first time in a long time. Look, Lions going out to the desert, and I think this is going to be a – if you're Detroit – you got to get this offense clicking because, guys, here's the thing. What you did last year doesn't count anymore. What you did, how far you went, doesn't count anymore. Matter of fact, I'm tired of hearing about it. Well, you know, we were 30 minutes away from Super Bowl. That was last season. Nobody cares because right now, this offense has to show me. You got to be able to score. Yeah, you can get good. What you did last week was empty calorie yardage. You got some. You couldn't score. You haven't been able to score in these two games. And Arizona can put up some points. You're going to have to do that. To me, and you don't want to fall behind. You don't want to go 1-2 facing the Seattle team that has beaten you the last 2 years here in the vaunted Ford Field.
See, here's the thing, Rico. You said they have to score, which is true. They do. They have looked bad on that end this season. They need to look consistent. That's the thing. It looks like Jared Goff, to me, is pressing a little bit. And the offense isn't rolling the way it should roll, where he's just looking at his reads and boom, 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 run the ball, do this. It seems like he's pressing, and that has tightened the offense a little bit, where now they're at, instead of 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-3, they're at 3rd-and-8 because they've done nothing to start the drive.
Yeah, I mean, and then for everything that I've heard about this offensive line, take away the overtime, you're not really establishing the run the way I thought this team would.
Well, Ben Johnson even said it. Red zone, there was only 2 positive runs the whole damn day. You know, 2nd-and-8's not a positive run. I'd also say to Ben Johnson, wherever you found that speed option with Jared Goff, we can go put that away.
Mobile Goff.
Yeah, we don't need there's mobile Goff, not speed Goff. Those are 2 different things. But I think we're going to learn a lot. And look, it's not being an alarmist. You don't want to fall to 1-2 with a playoff caliber team and the Dallas Cowboys in the near horizon. You just, no. I want to see them play crisper. But I think what Dan Campbell said is interesting. We may not be firing on all cylinders by the bye week.
Yeah.
And my concern is you may need to win a shootout, which means, to your point and David's point, running game better get this going. You want to slow this thing down a little bit. You do not want this to become Jared Goff throwing the ball 40 times again. And for the people who go, well, then why did we pay him? My answer to you is there's not a single quarterback in football that I want throwing the ball 40 times. Not C.J. Stroud, not Joe Burrow, not Pat Mahomes, not Lamar Jackson, not Josh Allen. There is no scenario in 2024 where you want your quarterback throwing the ball 40 times, much less the 56 times he threw last week. None. Jared Goff, you want mid to high 20s. You want some good play action. You want shot plays. There's a formula here.
Yeah, I was about to say, probably Baker Mayfield maybe the only quarterback that I would say, okay, he could throw it 40 times because their offense is more pass-oriented than run. But I understand. All your elite quarterbacks, no. You have this line, and it's almost like you're squandering in these first 2 games. This is a pivotal game because, as you said, now you're looking at Seattle, bye week, at Dallas, and then a game that everybody marked down as a W when you played the schedule game at Minnesota. So we're a long way away from that, but this weekend, crucial.
Bounce back. If you want home field advantage, you don't win back-to-back games. You don't lose back-to-back games. Collegiately, who do you think you're going to learn more about? Michigan, Michigan State? It's all there for you. I think for Michigan State, it's just interesting. Do I think they're going to win? No, I don't. That's before Rico ruined Christmas with the Nick Marsh news. The point is, if they are to win, you're talking about a team that some people thought would only win 4 games. You'd have a real opportunity to win 7 or 8. For Michigan, it's the last hurrah for me. Like, I've tried to be positive. I've tried to be patient. And I think there's a pathway to them actually winning this game. Now, I'm not touching it with a 10-foot pole. But if Alex Orji's out there throwing it 27 times, no, Rico's going to be right. He has 7 career pass attempts, and they've been hideous. So I just, I'm kind of, I guess I'm projecting my belief upon it where it's like, no, they're going to tighten this thing up, extra offensive linemen, a lot of RPO, keep USC off the field, and punts are wins.
Yeah.
And for USC, yeah, you know what? Lincoln Riley against Wink, that scares me. But it's really hard to execute pushing the ball vertical and giving Miller Moss the time he needs if Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant are going to show up and play big.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Look, maybe you're right. Maybe they win by 30. I just don't see it. I mean, I'd love it. Believe me, I want you to be right.
I just see that, you know, Lincoln Riley is going to take a page out of what Sarkisian did and just, you know what, we're going to hit the edges and we're going to turn that into a run play. Just a quick bubble screen, quick pass out to the running back, and we'll run away from the two guys in the middle. And when they come out of the game, that's when you'll run up the middle.
Mobile Goff. David, go ahead. Why?
Well, here's one thing that has not been mentioned all week regarding the Michigan-USC game. And you just talked about Kingsbury. Lincoln Riley versus, wow, I went way back. Lincoln Riley versus Wink Martindale.
Yeah.
Is USC's coming off a bye week. So that only helps USC in that mind of Lincoln Riley there to go and counter whatever Wink is going to do with this blitz, blitz, blitz.
Well, the problem for Wink is it's just no adjustments and it's not variable. Look, I told you as a Giants fan, it wasn't me as a Sparty. You don't want this guy. I don't know why this is what you did. I don't get it. So, I don't know. Look, guys, I want you both to be right. Okay, I hope they get steamrolled. But I try to shoot people straight. I think there's a way they can do this. So we'll get to some phone calls momentarily. Take a text first. Go ahead, David.
I think this game is most important to state. This game sets the barometer for them. Could be good, really good. We'll know this weekend who they are.
I think the problem is what's on the horizon. If you don't get this game, negative Rico takes over, and then they could lose and continue. You have Ohio State. That's an auto loss. You're going... Exactly, TJ. So it's just the idea of auto loss against Ohio State and then a Friday night at Outson Stadium, auto loss, then a bye week. Now you can reset the deck off that bye week.
Right.
You get Michigan and Iowa. I'm not putting those games totally out of reach. I'm not ready to tell you they're going to get one. But if you win this game here, it allows you to have that belief on the back end. Like, you know what? They've actually got something. I think if Michigan State is going to do anything this week, this has got to be the Jack Velling coming out party. This has got to be a tight end game. You've got to be able, you have an NFL caliber tight end in Jack Velling. He's been nowhere in this offense in a meaningful way.
Right.
This has to be the verticality. This has to be patrolling the middle of the field. And if Nick Marsh isn't there, there should be 6 to 8 more targets available.
No, you're right. Play action pass. Those two haven't been in sync. I know they came from Oregon State, but it was almost like they just met when they got to East Lansing because he overthrows him, he underthrows him. There's just no connection with those two. Yeah, and you're right. If you're Michigan State, you got to cut down on the penalties and the turnovers. You cannot have 10 or more penalties in Boston. You will lose this game.
248-539-9797. We'll get to the phone calls next. 97.1. All right, straight to the people on a Friday. Get to the picks bottom of the hour. Mike's in Livonia, and he's up next. What's up, Mikey? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Mike? Good, buddy. So I just want to kind of jump in on the Lions a little bit. Sure. I don't know if you noticed, but Dan Campbell's been kind of mentioning Tim Patrick a little bit, and I think it has to do with the fact that most teams have been attacking us by taking the middle of the field out of play at the beginning. And then once we make it into the end zone, they're kind of they're giving you that and they're asking you, you know, to kind of take the outside now. I think we're missing Josh Reynolds a little bit. We already knew that, Goff is kind of horrendous when it comes to facing pressure. Obviously, if you give him some time, he's going to pick you apart. So the whole idea is he always has Josh Reynolds as a blanket, for emergencies. When he needed to throw the ball, he knew he was going to be there. And he was a big body in the red zone, so that kind of opened it up, things for Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and Jameson. So at this point, if they can get Tim Patrick more involved and get some of the plays to kind of soften up the defense a little bit, maybe over the top a little bit, which Josh Reynolds never really did. But, for a big-bodied wide receiver, he was there. He was in his spot. And when it came to the red zone, he was a target, definitely. So, you know, it just needs, we, I feel like we just need to do some adjustments. The O-line needs to kind of get more reps and, you know, in play, because Zietler is new. So he's kind of trying to pick up the pace that the O-line had last year. And if we can just kind of make that adjustment with Tim Patrick, get him on the same flow, make Goff more comfortable with him as a target, I think we'll get back to where we were at last year. And I'll go from there.
But. Yeah, but Mike, here's the problem. And TJ joined us earlier, and TJ agrees with your take about missing Josh Reynolds. But here's what TJ didn't have an answer for. I said, then why the hell didn't they just pay the guy if he was that important? Why are we messing around with, brother. You know, Tim Patrick's been dead for 2 years. Blown out knee, blown out Achilles. You know, like,
I mean, if you wanted to go a different route, bring DJ Shark back, because, you know, Goff seemed to be
right. And look, yeah. I totally understand. Oh, well, look, we had to give out a lot of contracts, spend a lot of money. I mean, they have the money. I didn't go screaming and yelling about Reynolds not being here. I'm making a point that if you believe it is this important and Goff needed him that bad, well, when you're making a $200 million investment in your quarterback, I suggest you make a seven in the guy he wants.
Right there.
I'm just asking.
No. If that's your safety blanket, just bring him back. Pay the cost.
Let's go to Sean, 97.1. Sean, what's going on, bud?
Hey, guys. Great show. Love it. Hey, one of the things I heard on the Dan Campbell interview with the morning show earlier in the week, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it. Did he allude to that LaPorta is hurt?
Yes. He had an injury out of training camp, and he's worked his way back, but he's just not quite full.
Right, and Dan said that their entire offense game plan is 40% reliant on him, he's not there for them.
What he said, I think he wasn't being literal, as he goes, look, if we put a heavy install in and we believe LaPorta is going to have a big week and he gets hurt, well, there goes 40% of the game plan. I don't think he was being literal. He was just explaining, look, if I design something around a guy that might be a bit limited on the snap count, that's not smart coaching. Now, we all believe in this room this will be LaPorta's week, Sean.
Okay. He kind of alluded to that there was a shinier day ahead when he was ending the interview, too. So maybe he's getting better?
Yeah. And also, the way the Lions have run this thing, I mean, it was J-Mo week one. It was Amon-Ra week two. So I guess if we spin the wheel, it should be LaPorta this week.
Yep.
I don't know. Yeah, we need him.
I want to see it.
We need him badly. It's a Pro Bowl tight end. He had one of the great, if not the greatest, rookie season for a tight end in the history of the sport.
Yeah, and you need him for the red zone because you've had trouble scoring in the red zone, and he was 8 for 10 of his touchdowns last year in the red zone. I see a direct correlation.
Let's go over to Eric, 97.1. Eric, what's going on, buddy?
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
I don't think I'm the biggest Lion slappy there is, but I think they're going to lose this week. I think that they don't. I don't think they'll be able to contain Kyler Murray, and with our man on defense, Hutchinson needs some help this week. Like, I mean, Kyler Murray's going to make plays with his feet, and I don't think we got the defense to be able to cover it. I'm just real nervous. I mean, I didn't look at any of the line or anything like that, but I would take anything over as far as rushing yards go for Kyler Murray this week.
Go ahead, Rico.
No, I mean, that's been the Lions' Achilles heel for years, Eric. I'm with you. Just breaking containment when the play breaks down, you know, the defense calls up the perfect play and then he scrambles out and picks up the first down, picks up 10, 15 yards. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? I want to ask a question to both of you. We act like this is a Lions exclusive about the mobile quarterback. Who's good against mobile QBs in today's game?
Nobody is.
Right. But it just seems like.
So, well, I'm just having flashbacks of the Ravens game last year. You know, we're all high on our high horse, and this team hasn't lost back-to-back games since, I think, like December of 22. And I just think it's like a real bad matchup as far as what we want to do offensively. Now, if we get it going offensively and run the ball and, you know, can stretch the field, do whatever, I mean, I feel pretty good about that. I just feel like with our rookie corner who seems to give up a 50-yard penalty every week, you know, I just kind of feel like we're kind of in like a really – that's why the Bucs game is like – and we can't be dropping these no-name games when we're trying to fight for, you know, seeding and position in the playoffs. But I just don't see
– we got to respect the Bucs a little more than that. Now, look, I thought you'd beat them last week. The Bucs are a playoff-ish team. You didn't lose to the Panthers. You didn't lose to the Giants.
Right.
Take it easy. And as far as Arnold, I'm not knocking him for that penalty last week. That was a BS call. I'm sorry. I don't care. If you're going to throw a flag, I've always believed this. P.I. is not P.I. If you're going to throw a flag 47 yards down the field, can it at least be something we all look at and go, ah, it's pass interference? Arnold, I don't think he did anything wrong there. I didn't like the call.
No, I think it was more of a rookie call. You're not going to get that. Like, in a few years, we'll give you that.
What does that even mean?
It just means that Mike, because he's a rookie, he may have done something. You hit the receiver. You don't know the techniques of how to grab and clutch and hold.
You know what?
They didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. That's what it is.
No, and here's my point. Robot refs.
Agreed.
I've had enough.
Agreed.
I don't want to hear about rookie. I don't want to hear about benefit of doubt. Call the effing game.
No, you're,
if you're going to give a team 50 yards on a penalty, make it worth it.
No, you're right. It goes back years ago when Cam Newton was young and they said, oh, you can't get that call yet. It shouldn't be about that.
I hate
that. Call the game.
Absolutely hate that. It's the same damn thing in Kansas City. Was it pass interference? Probably. Am I deciding a 4th and 16 on a bailout like that? No way.
No.
Oh, but I forgot. Taylor's here and it's Pat Mahomes.
No, but you get that. It's like, if you're going to call that call, then every Hail Mary is a pass interference because it's basically a mosh pit in the end zone.
Let's go to Wayne, 97.1. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, guys, Michigan question for a Michigan boy there. Lloyd Carr started Chan Heading as a 5-star right away.
Yes.
And we got a 5-star on a bench. Like when McCarthy was there, when McNamara was playing, they put McCarthy in once in a while. They're not even putting this kid in for reps. I don't get it. He's a 5-star. Like Loyola, Nebraska. Look at him now. He's getting playing experience.
All right, hold on.
So what's up?
Hold on. Well, let me say this, and then I'll leave it to Rico. Not all 5-stars are created equal. And
no,
I would need,
true.
You know, like, look, Chad Henne was a very polished college ready on a very good team, by the way, for him to walk in and play. Now, look, Cade Klubnik was a 5-star all everything, you know, top 10 recruit at Clemson. He stunk.
Yeah.
You know, I hesitate to try to homogenize all 5-star players. Now, did Jaden Davis end up a 5-star?
I don't think he did.
I thought he fell apart as a senior.
And Henne had like NFL players out there around him. Yeah, this is one where they took a look at the freshman quarterback, Wayne, and, you know, he was in the rotation, but then they realized this is not a good year. He probably needs to sit a year, get bigger, stronger, and then you bring him out there next year. Now, Wayne, I'll say this. If things go south, then this is where I have a conversation with him and his parents and say, it's probably best we play you in the final 6 games and get you ready for next season.
Oh, okay. Well, now he's already a sophomore, isn't he?
No, he's a freshman. You just brought him in.
Oh, he is a freshman. I thought he was a sophomore. Okay.
Oh,
hey,
fine.
Just one more question, guys.
Yeah.
This Brady Hart, is he a 5-star that's going to be coming in next year?
Oh, I have no clue. Don't look at me. Rico.
Okay.
I'm not busting your chops, Wayne, but I can't even think about kids that are, you know, a year and a half from hitting the football field. And Jaden Davis, look, I just pulled up 24/7 and what used to be Rivals. It's now On3. Not a 5-star on either site. Not a top 100 player on either site. I would say chill out, especially too. Kids listed at 6'1", 180. Is that a college ready physical?
Yeah.
What weapons you got on this team not named Colston Loveland?
Yeah.
Is the O-line great? You know, I think if you go to him, the season's already over. I'm with Rico in this regard. You go to him after you know you're not making the playoff, after you know you're not winning the Big Ten.
Yep.
And you develop him and you give him 4 or 5 games, maybe 4. That way the red shirt could still be used.
Yeah.
But I can't justify that right here.
And that's just it. This is a tough conversation. If things go south, let's just prepare for next season. It's difficult. Nobody wants to think that way. But you hit the ground running so that next year, you're ready from game one because you're going to be playing a tough schedule once again.
248-539-9797. We'll get to the picks next, 97.1. All right, I'll tell you one thing, just a friendly reminder. If you're going to play 18 holes of golf, go home and shower. Rieger really could have used that lesson. But luckily, he's by himself tonight.
This is going to be studio.
He is ripe.
You know what? Doug has some candles over there.
Yeah, you're not working on anybody tonight, are you? You're solo?
Hey, you know it's a chair over there.
Dude, David, he's got a 3-foot blast radius of stink around him like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, come on.
Bro, you can't play 18 holes of golf and not go home and shower. I mean, you're a clean person. I've never accused you of being stinky, unlike other people who work at this place. But you, come on, man. You know better than this. That's terrible. On a football Friday, no less.
Keep an extra washcloth in your car or something. Good some God, baby wipes. Dude. Anything.
Really? We got to air this dirty laundry?
Oh, come whatever.
Come on.
Look, you're working by yourself. I'm just telling you. There's a reason nobody was sitting out there.
It's a 40-minute show. I played 18 holes of golf. It's kind of hot outside.
And you smell. You smell like you're homeless.
Yeah, listen.
Why don't you bring your shopping cart in here with all your empty cans?
I was told to leave it outside. Here's the problem. I'm sitting next to Mike. We're having a great conversation. Rico's involved. Kenny's involved. It was a community.
Then the stink started.
It was a community. Then I see Mike. I see Mike do the universal sign.
You hear me questioning, like, wait a minute. There's no way I smell.
He very low-key sniffs himself, right?
So and then you're like,
I'm like, uh-oh.
You're like, it could be me. I'm like, no, confirmed it is you.
No. I think it's my shoes, though.
You know what?
I think it's the shoes. I don't think it's me.
I was going to joke with you that I can smell through the glass, but I can smell you through the vent. I can right now. I'm not even joking.
You can hear me through the glass. You can smell me through the vent. It's not a great football Friday for me.
Thank God for a sinus infection. I can't smell them.
Yeah. You're very lucky.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought I would say that.
You know what's crazy? People come up to me. They're like, what kind of guys are Mike and Rico? And I'm like, oh, great guys. Great guys. I am your number one advocate. And this is how you do me on a Friday.
Buddy, it's just reality. Now, what are you coming up next?
We're 40 minutes away from Tiger Baseball. So.
You don't have a right to talk about it, though, do you?
No. Oh, you heard that yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. I was told yesterday that because I did not believe, I quit on the team like everybody else did.
Nobody believed, including the organization.
Apparently, I'm not allowed to enjoy this one.
Oh, God. So,
everybody else.
God, people attempting a victory lap at something that's only happened once in baseball history. That is such a level of delusion and stupidity, I can't even begin to. I won't discuss.
Well, there's another one. There's another person that works here that's looking for the victory lap. I can tell you if you want it.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's a.
Let's move on.
He put it on Twitter.
I don't care.
Okay, fine.
I don't care.
We're going to talk a little Tiger baseball, maybe get into
Instead
the Lions.
Of just being able to have fun. It's like this gatekeeping routine. It's amazing.
Everybody's got to be right.
Hey, guys.
Right? Everybody's got to be right.
It's football Friday. We've had a great week.
Yeah, but the Tigers are playing tonight.
I know. But let's just.
Big game, Rico. Big game.
Let's just go forward.
Yeah. No, listen, I wrecked football Friday. My feet stink. I wrecked it.
So what's coming up on the show besides the fact you have no personal hygiene?
Well, I don't know how you deliver that. we're gonna talk a little baseball. We're gonna talk a little baseball. I heard somebody. I think you guys asked the question. I think
you
Doug
smell
Scott
like you
asked.
Just played a double header. I'm sorry, was there a day game today? Did you throw 7 scoreless? I'll tell you, you smell like it.
Anything else?
No, I'm good.
No?
No, I'm okay.
No.
Buddy, right. Don't worry. We're going to Boston College to lose. Leave me alone.
Is Nick Marsh playing?
No.
Oh. Okay. Anyway, we'll talk Tiger baseball. Big game, Michael. Big game.
Big game.
Big game. And no Wojo today. He'll be back on Monday.
You'd kill the poor bastard. He had to work in here with you.
Oh, trust me. He's lost his sense of smell years ago. Come on.
Yeah, his nasal passage rotted out by gin.
Right, exactly. I hear it affects the nasal passage.
We'll talk to everybody on Monday.